Church at Philippi was founded during Paul's second missionary journey. The record of that is recorded in Acts 16. And he writes this letter to express his appreciation for their fellowship, also their continual support. And he writes to inform them of his circumstances. But most importantly, he writes to encourage and exhort them to continue in the Lord's service. I'd like tonight to look at verse 27 of chapter 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In this verse, the tenor of the letter shifts, and he now begins to apply spiritual truth. We want to take our thought from only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. It's a sentence. And in that sentence, the key elements are your conversation and the gospel of Christ. Two things, your conversation and the gospel of Christ. And then these two things are brought together in this sentence. So we want to speak tonight on gospel-marked lives. We see here in this verse that there is a very particular way of living that is addressed. Notice the first word, only. Only. That is, above all else. It expresses the significance of what is being spoken of. Only. It's a word of priority. So what he's about to say is to be a priority in their life. In other words, nothing is to get in the way of what he's about to say. Only let, that's the imperative mode, so it takes the form of a command, an exhortation, or an entreaty, if you will. It is a word that declares the nature or the character of the sentence. It's a command. It's a command. It's a call. And this implies that it is a duty. What he's about to say is a duty. It's a responsibility. So what we have here is a command, a call, an exhortation by one who is under the inspiration, the influence, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we need to hear, and we need to feel it as such, that these are the words of a man under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and hear it as a command, an exhortation. And such ought to stir us and move us to what is written here. So only let. And then the next word is your, only let your, so it's a personal duty. And then we have conversation, only let your conversation. Now, today, of course, the word conversation is applied almost exclusively to oral discourse, talking. But the old English word has a different meaning. It means walk and not talk. It refers to our conduct, refers to our conduct in general. And that, of course, would include our manner of speaking. The Greek word translated conversation means to live as a citizen, to conduct oneself according to the laws and customs of a state or country, kingdom. So the word conversation has reference to our walk, has reference to our conduct. In other words, it's our life. It's how we live. So that would mean that it's inclusive of all of our days. Whatever that day brings doesn't really matter. This would include all of our days. It would include all of our responsibilities in life. It would include all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, all of our feelings, all of our decisions, all of our goals, all of our desires, all of our pursuits, all of our purposes, all of our plans. So it would be, and since it's our life, it would include all of those things. Life, of course, consists of a variety of places. It would include whatever place we're in. Life, of course, consists of a variety of conditions. And since it's talking about our entire life, it would include all of those conditions, all of those circumstances. So what is written here applies to every area of life. There's no area of life that is exempt from only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. No area of life is exempt. So what is stated here is, we see also, is to be continual or ongoing. Only let your conversation be, present tense, ongoing, always, all the time. Be as it becometh. It's to become something. That is, it's to be suitable to something. It's to be befitting. It's to be in accord. It's to be appropriate to. And then we see the gospel of Christ. So our life is to be suitable to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our life is to be befitting the gospel of Christ. Our life's to be in accord with the gospel of Christ. Our life is to be appropriate to the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, of course, is the good news. The good news concerning Christ as it relates to salvation. More personally, as it relates to our salvation. So Paul is exhorting them, let your conduct as a citizen be as it be appropriate to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your manner of living reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that is, if we do that, our life becomes a witness. The way we live becomes a witness, and we preach the gospel by our life. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now the elements of the gospel are given in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But the elements of the gospel are to define who we are. The elements of the gospel are to define our life. So only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So we need to, if we're going to live that life, we have to consider some things about the gospel so that we know, we understand what Paul is saying, what kind of life Paul is describing. So let's just think of a few things concerning the gospel. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is of divine origin. That is, so therefore the source of this life, a life becoming the gospel of Christ, the source of that life is God. That's the source, that's the foundation of this life. So it is a life that is not independent and apart from God. God is the source of this life. As children of God, we should never try to live our lives independent of God. We should never try to live our lives apart from God. The gospel is of divine origin. What that means is it did not come from a human source. And this life that we are to live does not come from a human source. The gospel is not the invention or the idea or the philosophy or the opinion of man or the religious world. And this life that we are to live is not just the invention of a man or an invention of the religious world or an idea of man or an idea of the religious world. It's not just the opinion of man. It's not the opinion of the religious world, nor is it dependent upon human reasoning. The gospel is not dependent upon human reasoning. In fact, the gospel is contrary to human reasoning. Man does not understand the gospel. And this life that we are called to live that becomes the gospel of Christ, that is becoming of the gospel of Christ, you do not live this life by reasoning things out. It's not a life based upon human reasoning or human philosophy, or human ideas, or opinions. It's contrary to all of those things. It's far above all of those things. Paul declared in Galatians 1 and verse 11, "But I certify," that is, I verify and I confirm, "that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." It is not after man. It is not of man. Man is not the source. And man is not the source of this life that we are to live that is appropriate to the gospel. So this life is not something you can just work up in the flesh. It's not something you can just make a decision and all of a sudden you live this life. It is of divine origin. It proceeds from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the gospel is very, very particular. Now, we realize that we live in a day where people try to broaden the gospel, add to the gospel, diminish from the gospel, but the gospel is very particular. And the gospel is very distinct, and our lives are to be very particular and distinct. The gospel is very, very precise. And so this life that becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, this life that he's talking about is not random. It's not hodgepodge, but it is very precise. It's a very particular life. You can't say about this life, well, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. It really doesn't matter. It does matter. And this is a very particular life. It's just as particular as the gospel. Notice that Paul said the gospel of Christ. He uses the definite article. And he always does. Except when he refers to a false gospel. Other than that, he uses a definite article. Every now and then he'll use a preposition or pronoun, our gospel. But He uses this definite article, the gospel, implying that this gospel is not vague. It's the gospel. And the life that we are to live that becomes the gospel of Christ, it's not vague. There's nothing vague about it. It's a very particular life. He refers to the gospel of God. He refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of His Son, the gospel of peace, the gospel of your salvation, the truth of the gospel. There's that definite article. He referred to it as the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which speaks, of course, of the fact that it's illustrious, it's eminent, it's preeminent, it's influential. It's a glorious gospel. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's magnificent. And our lives are to be lived, are to become the gospel of Christ, are to be coming the gospel of Christ, are to be appropriate to the gospel of Christ. So again, the gospel is not a philosophy. The gospel is not an idea. The gospel is not an opinion. The gospel is an affirmation, is an affirmative statement. And that's what our lives are to be. Our lives are to make an affirmative statement. Our lives are to be statements. Statements of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, our lives should cast no doubt. It has to be affirmative. Thirdly, the gospel is a declaration. It is a proclamation. It is a presentation of God. That's the gospel. And that's what our lives are to be. Our lives are to be a declaration of God. Our lives are to proclaim God. Our lives are to present God. So our lives are to be an affirmative statement, proclamation, and presentation of God, of God's love. Our lives are to affirm the love of God. Our lives are to affirm the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. That's what it means for our lives to become the gospel of Christ, or to be becoming of the gospel of Christ, that our lives proclaim God, proclaim the attributes of God. The gospel is the message of God. It is the message of God. And that's what our life is to be. Our life is to be a message from God. Our life is to be the message of God. In other words, our lives are to point to God. Our lives send a message. Everyone's life sends a message. And our life is to send the message of the gospel. Now, obviously, the gospel is about Christ. He refers to it as the gospel of Christ. And as you read 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses, you see that Christ is the main element of the gospel. There is no gospel without Jesus Christ. And there is no life that becometh the gospel of Christ apart from Jesus Christ. So you can't live this life that Paul is describing here apart from Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses cannot live this life. You can't live this life apart from Christ. You cannot live it apart from who Christ is. You can't live it apart from faith in Jesus Christ. So it is about Christ. And the life that we are called to live is about who? Christ. The life that we're called to live is about Christ. You say, well, you just said it. Our life is a message of God. Yes, it is. What was Christ's message? Christ's message was God. And our message is about Christ. Or our life is about Christ, which declares the message of God. When we say it's about Christ, we mean that He's the focal point of our life. One cannot, by any stretch, honestly believe that their life is becoming of the gospel of Christ, when they can't darken the door of the Lord's house, they don't read their Bibles, they don't pray, they put the secular over the spiritual almost every single time, they can't possibly believe that their life is becoming of the gospel of Christ. Christ isn't the focal point of their life. Christ is the focal point of the gospel. So if we're going to live this life, our life has to be about Christ. It is Christ that defines the gospel. You take out Christ, you have no gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this life that we are to live, it is Christ. And it is Christ that defines our life. Christ should define our motives. Christ should define our reasons and our viewpoint. It's not the way we are raised that should define our viewpoint. It's Christ that ought to define our viewpoint. Well, mom and dad were Democrats, or mom and dad were Republicans, or whatever, therefore I am. Well, you're wrong. Because Christ ought to shape your viewpoint. This book ought to shape your viewpoint. And so it's a life shaped by Christ. It's a life pursuing Christ. It's a life with Jesus Christ as the goal. That's what you're shooting for. To be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Christ is the determination of our life. Christ is the direction of our life. Christ is the motivation of our life. Christ is the driving force of our life. So the gospel draws attention to Christ. There are people today who want to preach a gospel, but they want to do so in a way that is inoffensive to man, so therefore we'll leave Christ out. You don't have a gospel. That's another gospel. That's not the gospel of Christ. And so it is in our life. We can't leave Christ out of our life. So it's a life that draws attention to Jesus Christ. And our life ought to draw attention to Jesus Christ. The gospel is about what Christ has done. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's about what Christ has done. And the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is not about what we have done. It's about what Christ has done. You listen to some people, if they give a testimony, it's, I did this, I did this, I did that. Well, that's not much of a testimony. Our life is to testify of Christ. Our life is to be about what Christ has done. What has He done? Well, He's conquered death. He's conquered sin. That's to be our life. He has opened heaven for us. Therefore, the life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a life of faith. It's a life of hope or assurance. It's a life of humility. It's a life of love. It's a life of gratitude. It's a life of joy. If you walk around and you're miserable all the time, your life is not becoming the gospel of Christ. It is a life of joy and gratitude. It's a life of praise. It's a life of desire. It's a life of passion for the glory of God. It's a life of surrender. It's a life of service to the Lord. All of that is included in this statement, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The gospel, according to Romans 1 verse 16, is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, it is the means that God uses in saving a soul. And our life is to be becoming of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is, again, the power of God unto salvation. So it is a life of power. It is a life of power. It's not a life of defeat. It's a life of power. Yes, we suffer defeats in life because we're not perfect. We suffer defeats. But our life is not to be marked by defeat. There are some people that defines their life. Defeat. But our life is to be a life of power. Again, it's what God, the gospel is what God uses to bring about the salvation of a soul. What God uses to bring about a person-changing, life-changing event. And our life is to picture that fact that our person has been changed. And that our life has been changed. And again, today there's a lot of people that want you to believe that they had this event of salvation in their life, but it has made no impact upon their life whatsoever. It has made no impact upon their person. But this is in life, a person-changing. God uses the gospel to change people, to change lives. And our lives are to manifest, I'm changed. I'm no longer the same. I no longer do the same things. I no longer think the same way. I no longer view things the same way. I'm different. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So it is an event that has a very salvation. The Lord uses the gospel to bring it about. It is an event that has a very definite and immediate salvation has an immediate effect upon a person, an immediate effect. And it is an ever-increasing and everlasting effect and impact upon our hearts, upon our minds, upon everything about us. And that's what it means to live a gospel that is becoming of the gospel of Christ. God uses the gospel to bring about the miracle of salvation. And if our lives becometh the gospel of Christ, that is simply the salvation life. We manifest by our lives that we have been saved. That miraculous event has taken place in our life. The gospel is about victory. It's about victory. It's about the victory of Jesus Christ. And the life that is becoming of the gospel of Christ is a life of victory. It is a life marked by victory. The gospel also is polar opposite to the world's ways. Man would never come up with the idea that God would send his son to die, to be buried, to rise again. Man's idea is always a system of works. You look at every man-made religion, it evolves around a system of works. The religious world is caught up with a system of works. The gospel is polar opposite to the world's ways. It's not in line with the teachings, with the philosophies, with the ideas of the world. And so our lives are not to be in line with the teachings and the philosophies and the ideas of the world. Our lives are to be polar opposite of everything that's going on around us. That's when our lives are becoming of the gospel of Christ. The gospel stands in direct opposition to man's ways, to man's thinking. And our lives ought to stand in direct opposition to the thinking of the world, to the viewpoints of the world. The gospel to the world is foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 makes that very plain. It's foolishness. And if our lives are becoming of the gospel of Christ, the world looks at us and thinks we're fools. If they think you to be their friend and they can agree with you on most things, you're doing something terribly wrong. They look at our lives and they think, we're foolish. The gospel is also hated by man. The true gospel, as it's presented in the Word of God, is hated by man. You see, the true gospel, I had a preacher tell me one time, the gospel is only 3 points, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's all it covers. Well, you couldn't, there's nothing further from the truth. Because when you get into the death of Christ, you have to discuss, why did he die? Now you're into the sin of man. So the world hates that. The world doesn't mind you telling them, man is a sinner, man has done wrong, but if you believe in Jesus, you're fine. But that's not the gospel. That's a very vague teaching. So the gospel's hated. And when our lives are becoming of the gospel of Christ, the world is not going to love us. Now, God's merciful. And God is good to us, and God gives us friends in the world. Not everybody in the world hates us, and that's because of the goodness of God. But if you live this life, you are not going to be accepted in general by the world. In God's goodness, you'll have some friends that are in the world. Some people that'll be good to you. That's the goodness and providence of God. But overall, if you live a life that is becoming of the gospel, you will be hated. The gospel is very offensive to man. And when a child of God lives the way they ought to live, they become offensive to natural man. And we live in a time when that which is offensive, everything that offends, I mean, you basically can't say anything anymore. That which offends, we can't do that. And sadly, many of God's people have bought into that idea as well. And they adjust their language, they adjust their lifestyle so they won't be offensive. And we should not ever try to offend anyone. It should not be our goal in life to be offensive. Our goal is to be like Christ. And if we're like Christ, people are going to get offended. And that we cannot apologize for. Now, if we do something unbiblical that's offensive, then you need to apologize. But living like you ought to live, don't apologize to anybody for that. So a life that becometh the gospel of Christ is a separated life. The gospel separated from the world. The gospel is a message for all times and all places. Doesn't matter what the date on the calendar is, the gospel applies. It doesn't matter where you go, the gospel applies. The gospel is a message for all times, for all places. And the life that is becoming of the gospel of Christ is a life for all places. Covers all places. And it covers all times as well. Notice here in Philippians 1:27, Paul calls upon them to live this life that becometh the gospel of Christ. But then notice what he says. That whether I come and see you or else be absent. Two key words. He says, I want you to live this life that is becoming of the gospel of Christ. And I want you to live this life whether I am present or else absent. Whether else. In other words, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Paul says, if I come or I never come. This is the life that you are to live. Circumstances do not dictate this life. whether or else, this is the life that we are to live. Also notice, as you read on there in verse 27, whether I come and see you or else be absent, and I've got circled my Bible, whether and else, I may hear of your affairs. Your affairs, the events of life. Whatever the events of life, our responsibility is that our life be becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the event is. So what Paul is saying is, no matter what, no matter what happens, you're to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. That's the life that you are to live. And you are to live that life in spite of opposition. Verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. So there's opposition to this life. But you live this life anyway. Mom and dad may turn on you. Cousins, brothers, sisters may turn on you. So be it. Again, we do not try to offend, but we have a responsibility to live this life. And that's what we're to do, in spite of opposition, in spite of suffering. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You live this life, you're going to suffer some things. But you live it anyway. I got news for you. If you're saved and you don't live this life, you're going to suffer even more. You're going to suffer. Oh, you may be accepted by the world, but you're going to suffer loss. So it's a light. This is a calling. So what's the prerequisites of this life? Do we just roll out of bed and say, this is what I'm just going to start living this life? No, there's some prerequisites. First of all, of course, is salvation. He stated in chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can't live this life without the miracle of salvation. Religion will not enable you to live this life. Sound doctrine by itself, outside of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, will not enable you to live this life. There has to be salvation. That's a given. We also see that this life requires some submission. Again, Philippians 1 and verse 27, only let, that is, allow. Something we do. We have to submit. If our lives are to be becoming of the gospel of Christ, we have to submit to God. Also from our text, we see this life requires steadfastness. Verse 27, I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast. If you're going to continually live this life, you have to be steadfast. You have to be able to stand against the opposition. You have to be able to stand regardless of the suffering. To be steadfast is to be strong. This life takes strength. And again, just like the gospel is of divine origin, so this life is divine origin. It's not a strength that we find in man. It's a strength that God gives us. It's a God-given strength to live this life. Stand fast. That is, be devoted, be faithful, be firm, be unwavering in living this life. And then notice that another word here in verse 27, stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together. He's talking about the church body there. But it's a life of striving. That is, it's a life of exertion. It's a life of endeavoring. So this life needs to be an ambition. It needs to be our ambition in life that our lives would be becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many have their ambition in the world. But our ambition needs to be that our lives point to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see in verse 28 again, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. This life takes courage. Again, it's not a courage that we work up. The gospel is of divine origin, and our life is to be of divine origin. But it takes a life, it requires courage to live for the Lord. It requires courage to stand against the mainstream. That requires courage. And it requires courage to live this life. From chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we see that there has to be an overcoming of pride and the life of self. And from verse 5 of chapter 2, it requires the mind of Christ. And he goes on and he describes the mind of Christ. That is, he emptied himself. He willingly placed himself beneath all to serve. Our lives are to be becoming of the gospel of Christ. And that is of divine enablement. We rise above. It means that we, if our lives are becoming of the gospel of Christ, it means that we rise above the influence of man. We rise above the control of human reasoning. And we are possessed with the mind of Jesus Christ. And you look at the gospel, it's always been hated, it's always been despised, it's always been ridiculed, but still stands. It still stands. And so is our life. Whatever sufferings come, whatever the opposition might be, we are to continue to live this life. We're to continue to live this life. How many times, how many people throughout history, most of them probably not saved, but how many people throughout history, I just give up. I can't handle it anymore. I'm not going to live for the Lord anymore. That's not a life that pictures the gospel. The gospel just keeps on going. Just keeps on going. No matter what happens, the gospel remains the same. Again, this is not something that you and I can work up. But we have to realize the gospel's of divine origin and this life is of divine origin. So we have to plead with God to enable us in all places, in all times, whether or else. In other words, it doesn't matter what happens. That is, what happens is not the emphasis. What happens is never the emphasis. Circumstances are never the emphasis. The emphasis is to be, what would God have me to do? That's the emphasis. Oh, that our lives would be becoming of the gospel of Christ. And when they are, then our lives preach the gospel of Christ. Our lives should preach forgiveness. Our lives should preach the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Our lives should also preach the judgment of the Lord. And our lives should be marked by a hatred for sin. That's part of being becoming of the gospel of Christ. So God help us to live, that our lives would be marked by the gospel of Christ. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.